So we're continuing on in our James series, and we're looking tonight, James chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. Another common theme to our Christian lives, but one that we can so easily be blind to. That's just plain hearing God's word on a regular basis, but not doing it. Not putting it into practice. And again, like this, even as last week we talked about anger and our communication skills, these are things that Christians can tend to say, yeah, well, I know, but everybody has those kinds of troubles, and I'm doing the best I can, and James doesn't let us get by with that, with an everybody else does it too response. But he's adamant in these areas, even though he mentions them briefly, that we progress in maturity in these things. And so verse 22 through 25, he's going to talk to us about being doers of the word and not hearers only. We're going to see James wants us to understand we shouldn't forget our reflection. Let's look at these verses and we'll have a word of prayer. James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man or a person beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the song that we just heard and for the wonderful testimonies that we've heard and the opportunity to praise you for all that you have done. Now, Lord, as we look at your word again tonight, James is going to get very practical with us and remind us that because of all that you have done and all that you have given us, there are expectations involved with this. That there are expectations that we will serve you faithfully because you have been faithful to us and shown us your love and shown us the love of Christ. Father, it's hard for flawed, sin-scarred human beings to be faithful. Remind us that we can, through your strength, through the power of Jesus, the redemption of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and help us to depend upon that as we seek to obey your word more faithfully every day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, the title of the message tonight is Don't Forget Your Reflection. And if you've read this, I'm sure many of you are familiar with this. You can understand where I got the title for that. And James is again reminding us, it's good to hear God's word. But when we talk about hearing God's word, it needs to be a biblical kind of hearing, spiritually hearing. And many times, if we're not careful, we can just be plain apathetic toward God's word because we've heard it so much, we've grown up with it. And James is going to remind us again that our apathy leaves us vulnerable to deception. That whenever we hear God's word preached, or whenever we're reading God's word, whenever we're thinking or meditating on God's word, it's not enough just to know his word well, even. For veteran Christians who have known the Lord a long time, sometimes we get a little bored even with God's word. And that's not natural of a spirit-filled believer. So he's going to show us again, our uncaring attitude, our apathy, leaves us vulnerable to being deceived. How can we be deceived? We deceive ourselves when we hear God's word, when we read God's word, but we don't act. Verse 22, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Not hearers only. What is James requiring of us here? Well, he's requiring obviously more than just assessment of what is going through our ears and through our eardrums and the sound waves that we hear. Spiritual hearing involves acting on what one has heard. Now, this isn't rocket science. We know we're supposed to obey God, but maybe even the past week, couple weeks, we've been in God's Word, we've been hearing preaching, and we've just, it's been kind of just going in one ear and out the other, as we say, and we haven't been putting it into practice. Not just hearing, but we are commanded to obey God's Word, not just to listen. You know, James is referring to a basic Jewish expectation. Remember, he's writing to Jewish Christians that have been scattered around the world. And a basic Jewish tenet would be hear the scripture, live out the scripture. So this would be a very common thing, common principle that Jewish people would have heard. But it's a reminder to Jewish Christians that even more so with your relationship with Jesus Christ, to not just hear the scripture, but to live it out in our lives. And again, back to this thing. Remember last week we talked about being quick to hear, slow to speak, being intent on listening, especially to the word of truth, as God's word was referred to last week. That's being preached or that you're reading, we need to be quick to listen rather than to speak. And that goes into this. The other aspect of this is, then, even if you are doing better at listening and being quick to hear, also practice what you're hearing. How are we deceived? It's because those who hear yet refuse to take action have been deceived into thinking that they really don't need change. If you think about it, that's really what we're saying. Whenever we go to God's word and we hear it preached or we read it or whatever, however we're exposed to it, and we walk away and we don't do anything about it, we're basically in that moment saying, I'm okay. I don't need to change. And we need to understand something, whether God's word is preached or you're reading it or whatever, whether you're studying for your own lesson that you're teaching, that God's word through the Holy Spirit, there's always room for more change in us. And we never arrive, we never get to the point where even a truth that we've heard and we've been practicing for a long time, we can always do better until one day when Jesus returns, as we talked about this morning, and we receive that final bit of our inheritance, that glorious body that we, glorified body that we'll have. Until that, we should never think that we're not in need of change when God's word is being presented to us, because we're deceiving ourselves when we get to that point. Another commentary of James that I've been reading is written by a man named Craig Blomberg. And he says, religious self-deception occurs in which people can be mistaken in thinking that they are truly right with God when they are not. Such sham religion has devastating consequences for one's eternal destiny. I think here, we're going to look at this more in just a minute, that James is referring to believers who have a insincere testimony, believers who are going through the motions, but they really haven't truly trusted in Christ, and therefore they're not real children of God, those that would be fake Christians, so to speak. And then those Christians that are struggling and under the captivity of a habit of sin, when we, remember, we just studied a couple weeks ago, Christ redeemed us from that. We don't have to be in captivity to the habits of sin in our lives, but sometimes we still allow ourselves to do that. And we can still think we're okay. And that can have devastating consequences because we have become blind to our own lack of obedience to God's word. You know what this reminds me of? I mentioned before, as we were beginning the series in James, that it's obvious that James has been steeped and he knew Jesus' teachings well. He heard Jesus teach a lot. And even though it took him a little bit later on in his life to trust Jesus after he rose from the dead and appeared to him, he still had a lot of Jesus teaching on his mind. I think that he may have had Jesus teaching on the foundations that we went through at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. You could turn there, or I'm just going to read it for you. See if this sounds familiar with what we're talking about tonight, in doing and not just listening. Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." James is remembering Jesus' teaching. Maybe he has these verses in mind even as he reminds us it's not enough just to hear God's word, because we're deceived when we hear, but we don't act. We forget, actually, is our next point. We forget that our condition needs action, that we must take action. Let's look at verse 23. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding," or this has the idea of looking intently, "his natural face," or his appearance, "in a glass." And of course, I think most of us know that means a mirror of some sort or another. But it's interesting. This verb for beholding or looking intently has the idea of consideration, deliberate, studied attention. Don't misunderstand here. This is not the illustration of someone who does not give consideration at all to their appearance. You know, this reminds me of little boys and their personal hygiene. And I'm looking at at least three little boys now. And, you know, I understand that particular attitude with little boys. We see it a lot, where they get up in the morning and we have to remind them they have to do certain things, have to brush their teeth, sometimes, especially on Sundays, comb their hair and get ready. Some do it better than others, and I'm not going to give you the list of who does and who doesn't. And there are some that would be just perfectly happy without looking in the mirror, or not looking in the mirror, and just going on about their day. That's something that small children do. Hopefully, as adults, you're not doing that now. But that's not what James is picturing here. I'll get to more of that in a minute. But this is a picture, and I think none of us are surprised by this, of someone looking into a mirror. Now, would this mirror have been something that would have been accessible to people in Bible times? Did they have mirrors like what we have today? Well, you could probably guess, not exactly. Obviously, if James is using this as an illustration, they had some kind of mirror, but it was more along the lines of this. It was a polished bronze or copper. It wasn't at all like our clear mirrors today. And so as they were looking at this polished metal, it was harder for them to see their reflection. Again, you know, you just think about all the different blessings that we have today. Even our mirrors we have today are blessings. We can see ourselves so clearly and take note of the help that we need in the morning. They didn't have that back then. So one could not simply glance and learn much about their condition. They would have to stop and give consideration to their appearance. It would take some time. Now, what's going on here then? What is James referring to? We can understand maybe if it's a situation where somebody looks and they just look very quickly and they don't take much time to consider themselves and just leave. But someone that would take time to consider how frightful they look in the morning, we can all relate to this. We get up in the morning and we go to the mirror and, you know, things are a little out of place. Some of us that have less hair than others have less hair to comb, but it still needs to be combed. There are certain things that we need to do as we look in the mirror in the morning or throughout the day, and we see our condition, but especially in the morning, we realize we need this needs help. And we do whatever we have to do to make that appearance better, especially on Sundays, as we get ready for church. But what about someone that looks and considers their reflection in the mirror and admits, I've got to do something about this, and then walks away and doesn't do anything at all? Well, you might say, well, that doesn't sound like that's reality. Well, I think that's James's point. This is a ridiculous example that's made to be ludicrous on purpose, so that we will give more consideration to this, that a forgetful hearer, one that would look at their condition and walk away, that's a foolish reaction. That's something that doesn't make sense. It's ludicrous. And yet, it can happen. Probably here again, we're both referring to believers that have given testimony to their relationship with Jesus, but are not true believers. And they've looked at their reflection and seen the fact that they need Jesus, and they're still putting on an act, but they don't have a real relationship. Or believers that are entrapped in sin, and they've seen that through God's grace in their lives, and yet they neglect to do anything about it. This reminds me of Leslie and I, in our wedding, we ended up doing something that we originally had not planned for as far as where we were going to have our wedding. We had all kinds of ideas about where we wanted to have it, and yet none of those really worked out for our financial situation. And we had met at Bob Jones University, and we were graduating from there. Leslie's parents at that point lived in Maryland, and my parents lived in Florida. And we needed a halfway point so that everybody could come. And somebody had mentioned in the past about getting married on campus at Bob Jones University, and we both thought about it and thought, no, there's no way. We don't want to do that. We've been here so long, and we want to find, you know, a little bit different venue. And make a long story short, after looking at the cost and some of the advantages to being a student and getting married there, and some of the cost helps, some of the savings that we would have, it began to be a better idea to us. So we ended up, yes, we actually got married in the War Memorial Chapel. No jokes about that at this point. It was a beautiful ceremony. It worked out well. We had photographers that were campus photographers. And we had a guy that also was involved. He was the head of the video production department on campus, and he did our wedding video and afterwards at the reception. And he provided us a video. And one of the things that he did was really nice touch, at least for us, is he went around and videoed a number of our friends and family. And it was nice for us later on to sit back and watch that once we got back from the honeymoon and we had some time to look at it. But I have to admit, it was a little amusing as well, because our videographer was very enthusiastic about interviewing people. And he would just run up and stick that microphone in the, and he'd have the guy with him in the camera like it was a news story. Hey, do you have any words to say to Brock and Leslie on this important day? And he could have added, by the way, this is something that they'll keep for the rest of their lives. And you had some people that were obviously had been to many weddings, and they were veterans at this, and they were able to rattle off something really nice and flowery, and it was beautiful. And then you had some others who kind of got off, caught off guard, and you could see as they were talking, a couple people were doing the thing where they check the teeth, you know, to make sure that there's nothing in them before they have to say something. So they're like, please, to their spouse, please talk another few seconds before I have to talk. Many of those people, probably the thought that came through their mind was, boy, I would have really liked a mirror about a couple minutes beforehand to check my appearance. It's not natural for us to know that our appearance is flawed and not do something about it normally. So let's get to the heart of what he's talking about here. He's talking about, in this illustration, as ridiculous as it is, those people that go to God's word, see their condition, see the need for change, and yet disregard it. Can that happen? Can people do that? Turn quickly with me. Just keep your finger in James and turn to Ezekiel 33. And we'll see here that Ezekiel was a prophet that actually wasn't shunned by his people. And God called him to do some pretty crazy things as they were brought into captivity. His prophecy spanned the time he was brought into captivity with the rest of Judah, was being held in Babylon. And the people listened to Ezekiel, and they appreciated it. But there was a problem with their listening. Ezekiel 33, verse 30 through 32. "Also, thou son of man," this is God talking to Ezekiel, "the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of their houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, 'Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord.'" So these people are saying, you need to come hear our prophet Ezekiel. You'll really like this. You'll appreciate it. "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words." Well, what's the problem? "They will not do them. With their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument." So obviously Ezekiel was able to do special music as well in his services. "For they hear thy words, and they do not do them not. But when this cometh to pass, and lo, it will come," this is God's judgment, "then they shall know that a prophet hath been among them." Can God's people be blessed with hearing the preaching of the word, with knowing his word well, and walk away and not do it? Yeah, it can happen. It happened in the Old Testament. It can happen. It happened in the New Testament. It can happen today. So what do we need to do? Well, let me just plead with you. Don't be moved by the words of the sermon or God's word in your daily devotions on a daily basis, and then live the rest of your life, the rest of the week, on your own terms. But submit. Submit to what you have read and what God's word has said. I can relate to what Paul says, that he reflected in tears of many that had strayed. I can think of so many people in my life that were involved in church programs, that grew up in Awana or some other Bible memorization program, that had a Christian education, Christian school, Christian college, and they were under solid Bible teaching. And all of these blessings, or even one or two of them, and I look back and think of them, and they walked away from it all. Remember talking and having discussions with young people. Wow, wasn't that message good? Even being in Greenville, Bob Jones University, and all the wonderful churches that are there, and the solid word that's preached consistently, and we would talk about this, and they would marvel at the teaching that they would hear. And I think of a few of them now. I don't know what happened to them. They kind of faded off and never heard from them again. Some of them rejected God entirely. It can happen. So James reminds us, don't just consider your appearance, your spiritual appearance, in the mirror of God's word, but do something about it. He's going to continue to show us here, our committed hearing motivates perseverance. And he's going to show us the opposite. That was the negative part about this. And we're reminded, don't fall away. Don't reject. For those that have heard God's word and have given a false profession, look back on the gospel. Put your faith in Jesus Christ and live for him. For those that are involved in habitual sin that you know God's word says you shouldn't be doing it, repent. Obey God's word. We have Jesus, the power of Jesus in us, the Holy Spirit, to help us to obey. We're going to see that in just a minute. On the other side of this, our committed hearing motivates perseverance. when we truly hear the way we're supposed to be and we commit ourselves to not just hearing God's word, but doing it, that will motivate perseverance for us. We can consistently obey the law of liberty. Look at verse 25. But whosoever looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, or perseveres, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, one who acts, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Look back at the beginning in verse 25. That idea of looking closely has the idea of stooping down to examine carefully. And unlike the first example, this has the idea of doing what must be done to hear God's word well. We have outside our home on the power box, one of the boys noticed recently that a robin was building a nest, and she's completed that nest. And as we expected, now that she's completed it, we were wondering if there were two eggs in there, and she flew off. Sometimes when we open up the door here, she'll fly off. And so the boys wanted to see if there were any eggs in there. And Arden wants me to make a note that he actually found the nest. So there you go. I'm glad he's listening to the message. And we lifted the younger boys, careful not to touch the nest or the birds, and they peered carefully. They craned, they strained their neck to see these two beautiful little robin eggs. It took some work, but they were able to see. That has the idea of what James is talking about here, looking into God's word, making an effort to hear it well, but then also doing it. Not just listening, but committed to doing whatever God's word says. Let's look at this description of the perfect law of liberty. Well, what is that? Perfect law here refers to God's law in the Old Testament that he gave to his people. It was perfect. There were no flaws. God's law. But more importantly, because of this New Testament perspective that James has, this law was perfectly obeyed and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The law that humankind, that the nation of Israel and that God's people could not keep, Jesus came and perfectly obeyed and fulfilled that law. And because of his sacrifice and his redemption and his shed blood, all of that is packed into this concept of the perfect law of liberty. The law of liberty was fulfilled. And now it's even further interpreted by Jesus Christ. Remember how he interpreted the law in the Sermon on the Mount and said, not just murder, but hatred in your heart. Don't do that either. Not just looking upon someone, but the lust in your heart. Don't do that either. Jesus is able to interpret God's word in any way that he sees fit, in the right way, because he fulfilled it. And furthermore, this law of liberty doesn't mean a law that we are stringently and held to and unable to obey, but the law of liberty is a law of freedom. What does that mean? He's referring here to the law of Christ, the gospel. He's referring here to Jesus and what he described in the Sermon on the Mount that we needed to obey, but he's also referring to as well that through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have the ability through the Holy Spirit to obey this law. The Old Testament law before Christ died and offered us his redemption, we didn't have the ability to obey. But this new law of liberty, this law of freedom, we can obey. We're free. We're free from the chains of sin. This is the gospel. And we can put our faith and trust in Jesus and obey God's commandments through the Holy Spirit, through the power that works in us. That is a perfect law of liberty. And furthermore, then, we can not only look at this law, God's word, and be able now as his children through what Jesus has done to obey this word, but we receive blessings. We will be blessed in obeying the law of liberty. He says here, this man or woman shall be blessed in his deed. The blessings of this life that come from a guilt-free conscience and the joy of being able to obey this new law of liberty through what Jesus has done, and through the Spirit's power. I think James is here more focusing on the blessings that we have in this life rather than the eschatological blessings of the future. There is a blessing in being able to obey God and to have our sins forgiven, to have a guilt-free conscience, and joy in being able to not be a slave to sin any longer, but being able to obey God's word. You know, I think the Jewish Christians would have been especially joyful in this description, perfect law of liberty, because they weren't captive to the harsh requirements of the Old Testament law anymore. But they were free to obey fully the law of liberty, the law of freedom through Jesus Christ. And I think personally, I can't prove this, I think the term law of liberty might very well have been the term of the plan of salvation before the term the gospel really started taking hold in the early church. Remember, James' book is the first book written in the New Testament from what we can tell. This may have been the earliest description of the gospel, referring to it not as an Old Testament harsh law of requirements, but it is a law of liberty. It's a gospel where we have freedom to obey God and to do what he wants us to do. That is something to rejoice in. So, are we going to be submissive to God's continued teaching? Are we going to be a powerful testimony to others of God's power in which he can change individuals? Isn't it wonderful that God doesn't give us his requirements in his word as we're reading and thinking through them and say, okay, go and do it on your own? Because we can't. But through what Jesus has done in his redemption, his shed blood, and all the sacrifice that he went through, we can, when we put our faith and trust in him, God gives us the power. He gives us his Holy Spirit. The seal, as we talked about this morning, of our salvation, of our inheritance, but also the empowerment to be able to obey and to do, as James says, God's word. Don't just listen, be moved emotionally, and then go your own way this week. Let's all humble ourselves before God's word and practice it and obey it daily in our daily way of life. Jesus will provide us the power to be able to do so. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this reminder from James to not just hear your word and think of it as a beautiful message or a beautiful piece or passage of written words, but help us to remember you have expectations that we can fulfill through the power that we have in the Holy Spirit in our relationship with Jesus Christ to act out and to obey your word. Help us not to be satisfied with anything less, but to strive joyfully, proclaiming your grace as we then rely on that grace and obey your word consistently. Help us to be consistent and faithful in this, Lord, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.